Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights and lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." There was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed in it, and it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Pray with me. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth, and thank You for preserving it. Father, move in us now. Give us understanding and show us how to live in the light of Your word and in the light of Your truth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a younger man, I worked at a print shop. And the boss there, whenever he had a big load and a lot of stuff to carry and deliver, he'd say, "Micah, come on." He'd put me in the truck and I'd get to help him carry heavy stuff. And one day, because he knew I was an artist, he said, "You know, I think what makes good art is detail. What do you think?" And I thought for a second that I had no interest in arguing with my boss. And I said, "Yeah, sure. Detail, that makes good art." He said, no, you don't have to agree with me. I said, "No, detail, that's fine." But later I started thinking about it more, and I like good questions. And I thought that was a good question, and for the last 16 years I've been thinking about that question. What does make good art? And I remember a time when I was in grade school, they took us to the museum up here in Pittsburgh. And as I walked through the museum, I looked over and across the room, a painting caught my eye. And it was grays, a gray background. And there was this bright red figure in it. And I walked over and I'm looking at it, and it's this gray landscape. It looked like a dry and thirsty land. Cold and dark. But in the front of it, there was a rose. A brilliant red rose. And as I looked at it, that rose looked like it was jumping off of the canvas. And they had a felt rope around it because I think people had been wanting to touch this painting. And this painting connected with me, and I was seeing a land that was ugly and a land that was dead. But then in the midst of it, I saw some beauty and some life. And I began to think that what good artwork is, it's artwork that connects. It's artwork that an artist has a feeling or an emotion, and they take a canvas and they pour themselves out on it. And then they can take that and show it to you, and you look at it and you know something about that artist's heart. And that's what good artwork is. Well, as we look at this picture of creation and we look at what God has done, I want you to know, as you look at this world, you're seeing a piece of art. You're seeing something beautiful. You see something incredible. You look at a sunrise. You look at a great misty valley in the morning. You see an artist's heart. You see, God intends to connect with you. And one of the amazing things is that you are a piece of this painting. You're a piece of this artwork. But as that painting that I looked at in the museum one day was a dry and thirsty land, as it was a place with sickness and it was a landscape of sorrow, I think each one of you can relate with that a bit. This world having a sickness. This world having a sorrow. Today, this week, I sat in someone's house who had lost three relatives recently. A son, a mother, and now a brother. Do you know, you sit in someone's living room like that, and it's dark in there, and their mood is dark, and it's hard, and it's painful. But then you look at the rest of the world and you look at what God has done. And in the midst of this gray and dark world, there is this rose. There is this brilliant figure that stands out. And it's the person and the work of Christ. We see this world created beautiful, but then you and I look at it and see it as darkness. But you're not left this way. We are not left this way in this dark landscape. You are not left without hope. So as we consider this first chapter of Genesis, I want you to trust in this Creator. Trust in the One who's not left us. Not left us in a land of misery, in a fallen world. But trust the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And put your hope in Him. Now let's look at verse 1. There's a place that people get hung up and stumble over in dealing with God. At the Frontier Club this past week, I was talking with some people that are utterly unchurched. And as we spoke, a lady, she came up with this question, and she knew she was going to stump me. And she had this coy look in her eye, and she said, "I have a question for you." And I said, "All right, shoot." She said, "Who made God?" And she just stood there grinning for a moment. So I said, "Nobody made God." You know, when you look at the book of Genesis and you look how it starts, the creation account, what does it say in verse 1? In the beginning, God. That's what we have. That's all we have. We have God exists. God is. And one of the great things when you're dealing with God and you're dealing with His name, in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses said, "You're sending me to talk to these people to say that you sent me. Who shall I say sent me?" God tells them, "Tell them, I am sent you. I am." It's pretty weird. It's a weird name. I am. Nobody else that you're going to run into would have that name. I am. But the deal is, the name there is this word that just simply means to be. This word that just simply means is. I am. And when God created things, when He created everything, when He said, "Let there be light," a literal translation of that would be, "Let light be." The God who is, you could translate it, "I be." "I be" said, "Let light be." Light was. God simply is. My sons and I, we decided to make a chess piece. And so we're going to get a piece of wood and we're going to carve it out and we were going to make a king piece. And so we did. We got a piece of wood and we carved it down and we sawed it down and we got it all together. We had a nice little stand with a little cross on it. Imagine if I made that chess piece and the chess piece says one day, "Who carved you?" And I would respond, "Actually, I wasn't carved." He said, well, "Who took the wood to make you?" So, "Well, I wasn't made from wood." "Well, what kind of tree did you come from?" I didn't come from a tree. And I could say, "Listen, chess piece, I'm not like you. I'm not made out of wood. I wasn't carved with a knife." When we say to God, "Who made you?" God says, "Listen, I'm not like you. I wasn't made. I wasn't created like you." There isn't an answer to that. Another way to look at the existence of God is, have you ever seen a timeline? A piece of paper and they draw lines on it. They have a beginning for something and they have an end for something. And you have these little notches showing you when different things take place. Well, God took a piece of paper and He draws over here, writes creation. He draw a little line for Adam, have his life, his beginning, and he would have his death. Another little line for Cain, smaller line for Abel. And we'd go through and there would be a line for everybody. And there would be a line for you. And it goes all the way to the end when it says final judgment. And we exist on that paper. That's your existence. You exist there. Your line has a beginning and your line has an end. It would be to say to God, "Where's your line?" God would say, "I don't have a line. I wrote creation over here. I drew your line." God is. God simply is. He exists off of the paper where you do not. So come to it with this attitude. God is. And believe in the God that is. Next, believe in what God says. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture is inspired by God. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You see, what that's saying is, this is what God says. This is what He says. So you should trust it. When I, you know that I have a youth group, the Squires of Eastvale, and I teach boys how to sword fight. And the weird thing is, when boys get into their teenager years, all of a sudden there's this miracle that happens and they know everything, right? They think they know everything. And I'll have them out there and I'll start explaining how to sword fight to them. Then they'll say, wait a second. You could either do it this way. These little kids. And so I always ask them, how old are you? And they say, 13. I say, oh, I've been sword fighting for 20 years. So maybe for the next year you should just listen to me. And believe me. And not tell me how to sword fight. Do you know that we've stopped listening to God? And we've started listening to people that run around in little white coats. We've started to listen to these scientists and the things that they say, we've been placing it above Scripture. How crazy is that? I remember in my biology class in high school when they were teaching me about evolution. And I raised my hand and said, well, what about God creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days? And he responded, if anybody's stupid enough to believe that, I don't have anything to say to them. So I shut up and I sat down. I didn't believe him, but I was just thrown off. So if God is, and God, he is, and if he always was, if he's the Ancient of Days, and if he says that he created the heavens and the earth in the space of 6 days, and some guys in a lab coat in the last 150 years want to tell us, oh, no, that's not the case, who do you think we ought to listen to? I mean, is this really a tough situation? Is this really something that Christians should be stumbling over and say, oh, well, okay, I'll believe the Bible as long as it lines up with science? No. God is, always was, has created, is perfect, and has spoken. So listen to him. Listen to him and believe what he says. And stand up for his truth. Stand up for what he has said. So, knowing that God is, knowing that God speaks, we're going to take another step. And I want you to look at this world and know that it is the handiwork of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:15 through 17, speaking of Christ, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, for in him all things hold together. This world is the work of Jesus Christ. This world is what he has done. And as we talked about that painting, Christ is that rose. Christ is that light that keeps this world from being utterly hopeless. Look at this creation and know that it is beautiful. I was talking to my father and asking him about his testimony. Asking him about when he came to know Christ. And he said, oh yes, I remember that day. He said, I was in the woods. I was hunting. And I was a bit thrown off by that. And not knowing how this story was going to pan out. And he said, I looked out and I looked over that valley. And I just knew that this didn't just happen. He knew that what he saw was a piece of art. And because of hearing the word, because of already having heard the scripture, he knew that creator was Jesus Christ. He knew that Christ was God. And he knew that he needed saved. As you look at this world, as you look at a sunset, as you look at a sunrise, as you look at mist rising over the river, know that it's the handiwork of Christ and that all creation is to point towards Him. But people won't know this unless you tell them. You see, when I saw that painting in the museum, when I was looking at it, I tried to read the artist's name on it. Because the guy was so artsy, he couldn't sign his name in a way that people could understand it. And I was frustrated because I wanted to know who the artist was. Because I wanted to look for other paintings that he had done. You see, Christ's world is perfect and it bears His name. But our vision is blurred. Mankind's vision is blurred. Mankind suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And they will not look at a sunrise and know that it's the work of Christ unless you tell them. So you yourself need to use creation to point to Christ. Now, verses 11 through 13. Then God said, "Let the earth produce vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind." I want to point that out. "With seed in them on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. We'll go to verse 21. And God created this great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was very good. Did you catch anything there? After its kind. I'm pointing this out to call on you. Don't trip over the stumbling block of evolution. Don't do it. Don't get caught up in it. God created things after their kind. I once was taken aback when I saw the cover of a Time magazine. And there was this illustration of a monkey man on there. And it said, "Missing link found." And I was like, "Oh no. Well, there it goes. There goes my faith and there goes the Bible." So I grabbed the magazine, and when I read it, I went through and they had this illustration of a skeleton. I thought, wow, this really does look like a monkey man missing link thing. And then as I read through, and at the back of the article, it explained, well, we found five bone chips. I was like, five bone chips. Over a 7-mile area. And they took them and they pieced them together and they drew all of the other bones. There wasn't even a full skull. There was a piece of a jaw. And behold, the monkey man. And they do this painting on the cover of Time magazine. Missing link found. And you know what? The whole world out there believes, oh, there it goes. Now it's proven. The Bible's not true. Do you know they're making this stuff up? They're making this stuff up. Sure, you might find a skeleton of a monkey that kind of looks like a guy. So what? Monkeys look like little people. But they're not. You know, there were people in my school that looked like monkeys. But they weren't. Evolution's not real. It's pretend. It's fantasy. I talked to a man in the community recently, and he showed me this car that he's reconstructing, and the thing's ugly. It's gray, and it's got primer on it, and the joints don't come together right, and it's all shifted, and there's pieces of it laying all over the place. And I'm looking at it, and he's telling me how much work this thing is going to be to get it together, to get things to line up right, for it to be straight, and for it to be beautiful. And he showed me other pictures of cars that he'd done, and they were beautiful. These antique things. Well, imagine walking up to this car and looking at it and saying, wow, who rebuilt this? Some are saying, nobody did. It just kind of happened. That doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. Well, then they might say, well, it took a really, really long time for it to happen. And you would say, well, that still doesn't make sense. That's still really stupid. And they might say, well, it used to be a dune buggy. And then it became a really good car. That's dumb too. Are you catching on? Evolution is dumb. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter how long it would take, you wouldn't get a nice car. And it doesn't matter how long it would take, you wouldn't get the ecosystems that we have. The balance of the universe, the planets balance perfectly, our axes balance perfectly. Do you know how hard it is to keep the body running well and how hard of a time doctors have fixing it when we're messed up? Because God made us fearfully and wonderfully. God made you. You didn't come from a monkey. You were created in the image of God. Rejoice in that. Be thankful for that. And don't get hung up on all this evolution garbage. So I'm going to call on you now to trust in the God who created to save you. Trust in this God who created to save you. Eventually, as we work through Genesis, we're going to deal with the fall when man sins, but I'm going to touch on it now. In Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men. See, the world's really messed up now. And people would like to blame God for it. They would like to blame God for all of the death. Sure, you know, He has His hand in everything. But I'll tell you, as we look at that verse 31 from Genesis 1, He looked and He made everything very good. A life without sin and a life without death. And it's as if God made this, was going to make this cake. And He got all the ingredients and He put them together and He had this perfect batter for the most beautiful cake. And we come along and throw a handful of sand in it. And then we're ticked off because the cake doesn't come out nice. You see, that's what our sin is in God's perfect world. We blew it. We messed it up. We still blow it. We still mess it up. But don't blame God for it. But the beautiful thing is, He's loving enough that He saw fit to save us and to make the answer. I'm talking to a few guys who are reading in Genesis and explaining to them, look, God made things beautiful, man blew it, but then all through the Old Testament, God is making a way to save His people from their sins with the promise, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst. And that's what Christ fulfilled, paying the penalty so people could dwell in the presence of God and God would have His people. When we looked at Revelation chapter 21, we saw the beautiful blessing. God having His people and His holy city wiping away every tear from His people's eye. That is for all of you who will put your trust in Christ to save you. And then together we look forward to seeing Christ face to face. So, trust in this God who created the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this world and see His paint strokes. Look at a sunrise and know that it's the work of Christ. Look at the stars and know that they're the work of Christ. Look at each other. See people created in the image of God. And when you see good works done, know that they are done because of Christ. Do your good works in the name of Christ. Continually trusting in Him for your salvation. Pray with me. God, thank You for all that You have done. God, thank You for Your work of creation. Thank you for the beauty that we see, the lives that we get to live here, pointing towards you. And God, thank you in the midst of a dry and thirsty land. We have you to turn to. God bless us. God transform us and be glorified in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.